Joe Pearl, Reel 9. Yes, so this frantic phone call.
Oh, yes. She said, I'm the middle of packing. I said, but give me the gist of what's all about and I'll give it a canoe. And she was the chairman of the 35 group, you remember the 35 group who were fighting for the people in Russia, to let other people out of Russia. So she was very much mixed in with the Israelis, with the ambassador and everything else. She said, what's happening? I said, I just had a phone call from Israel, and my father is ill in Vienna, and nobody wants to give me any answer, won't tell me what's happening. Can you help me? She said, give me 10 minutes. She woke up the ambassador in London, and he said, tell them to get ready. And he phoned through to the ambassador in Vienna, because he's the only one who can help me in Vienna, and let them book a plane straight away. Here am I, ordering a ticket. I go up to London to my daughter who was studying in the university here in London, sleep over the night, in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from my son who was stayed behind and boarded, which where I had the hotel. He said, you've got to come back. He said, you had a flood in the hotel and six rooms are destroyed. I'm between the deputies. I've got to go to Vienna. I've got to take this ready. I've got to go. It's got to be done. I phoned Vienna, the ambassador of Vienna, and said, I can't come because this will just happen with my hotel. I've got to go back to Bournemouth. And I got in touch with you. He said to me, don't delay it. He said, your father is on his. They're giving him the last rite. I said to him, just tell him to stay alive until I come out. And I went back to Bournemouth. In the meantime, I phoned to the insurance people, the assessors, all this, an engineer to cut off the water, an electrician to cut off the electricity and everything else. And I gave my time to meet him. We all met up, and I gave him exactly a half an hour. The assessor says to me, Joe, he said, how can you think of anything else? This is your life. This is your hotel. I said, you know what I want, and this is I'm going. In the meantime, I got another phone call into the hotel, and the busser says, if you don't come out by this afternoon, say goodbye. 11 o'clock, I called the plane. Got out of there, we jumped into our taxi, went up to the hospital. The ambassador was standing there, went up to the hospital, go to the hospital. There's a man with a machine gun, don't let me in. Then he saw the ambassador, he saluted the ambassador, he said, don't let the boy in. I went in, and my father, I said to him, Dad, your son is here. This is not the place to die. If you want to die, you've got to get better. And go to Israel, then you can die in peace. Slowly, slowly, my wife was peeling grapes, feeding him the juice from the grapes, the juice from the oranges. I arranged for people to give him massage. I said, whatever you do, just get him on his feet. Get him on his feet. Slowly, slowly, he was getting stronger and I'm getting weaker. My wife said she could actually see the thing, he was getting stronger, I was getting weaker. Anyway, God's help, he got better, he went to Israel the following year, I went to visit him in Israel, and we were singing and dancing, and I said to him after about, I didn't see him for 8 months, and after about 8 months, I said, what do you think about the last talked to him about the Arabs in Budapest. He said, what are you talking about the Arabs? The Jews, are bloody Jews, are killing all the Arabs. When I saw him in Israel after 8 months, I said, what do you think of the Arabs? He said, I would tear their skin off of my life. Because he could see the terrorism was going on and they were killing a lot of Jews.
Did you actually ever regain? You were saying when you were a little boy how close you were to your father.
No,
were you ever able to recover that?
I didn't let myself be regained. You know why? Because I knew when I went to Israel, only a short term. I would only go for a month or 2 months. Because I had to come back for business. I had a hotel for that. So my hotel was seasonal. So I had only had to, you had to decorate and you had to clean and you had, so I had to go to Israel for a certain period. And I knew that if I get too close to him, I'll break his heart. So, and every time I went, he used to cry bitterly. I said, Dad, what are you crying for? I said, I'm only a phone call away. Pick up the phone and reverse the charges. It doesn't cost you a penny. Reverse the charges and within 24 hours I'm here. I said, the world is small. Within 24 hours I'm here.
But it sounds as if he did show love to you again.
No, he didn't. Every time I used to go, I said, how's your son doing in Russia? Oh, he's teaching officers that you should only know what he does. But in the end, I did say to my dad, I said, Dad, stop. You know, when a person dies, a Jewish person dies, especially your father, you say prayers for a year, certain prayers. I said, stop. Who was the Kaddish? It will be me. It won't be the son of Russia. So I'm ashamed to say, I had a stick over it. You know what I mean? And then, as I say, in 1954, I went to Israel, and then I met my wife, and I came back. We got married within a short time.
Your own children?
Huh?
You had children?
Yes, of course.
Yes. Now, how do they react to your background? Are they, to begin with, do you talk about it to them?
No. I'll tell you what. I brought up my children to be normal children. I didn't have any hang-ups, and I certainly wasn't going to give them any hang-ups. They were in school, they learned from books. I knew I was in the concentration camp. And what happened was, when my daughter was about 12, or 11, 12, 12, and my son was about 7 or something like that, we flew out to Israel, because I was still in school. And then they flew out, and we met the mother at airport. And I had a flat, we lived in a flat, not at airport, I don't know, 2 months or something like that. And we went to visit places. And one place we had to visit was Yad Vashem, the Holocaust place where everybody goes to see. And I've already seen it, so I didn't feel inclined to see again the dead bodies and the cramped position. So I sent in the children. And when I went in, I said to my wife, oh, I'm bloody fool. I didn't prepare the children. I didn't prepare the children. And I went in, and when they came out, none of them said a word, not my son and not my daughter. They both came, each side of me, and they caught hold of my hand, and we all walked down silently the pathway. My wife was walking in the back, and I was walking with the two children in the front. We went, and we caught the bus, and we went home. They didn't say a word, and we didn't discuss it. I thought it was enough. It was enough for them for the day, and I didn't discuss it. But afterwards, of course, they hired books from the library. So. And this is my children haven't got any hang-ups. I haven't burdened them with them. They're happy, and just the children went through universities. Got that to the double ones, to double A, whatever they call it.
Have you, do you think, though, it has made any difference to you as a father, the way you have looked after your children or treated them, the experience you had? It's a difficult one, isn't it, because you don't know what you would have been like without it. But I wondered if you think about it, if there...
No, I'm only counting my blessings that I've got two children who adore me. Two children, they shed love on me. They put me in such a high pedestal, and they try to live up to that. And I keep on telling them, don't have to prove anything to me. Just be the way you are. I love you, Charles said. My daughter lives, as you said, just down the road, about 90 yards away. And my grandchildren, I'm the apple of their eyes, my grandchildren. as Zaider, 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 so grandfather, grandfather. And as soon as I see me, they light up, their eyes light up. And no, I want Zaider to do this. I want Zaider to do this. You know, if they want to go out, some children cry, I want to be with my, no. If I'm there, mommy can go, bye bye. And they go, no, and this would be all my life, children in my hotel. They used to hang around, I used to be the Pied Piper. I used to hold my finger, and they had to show the uncle that I've eaten out, and I had to show them. If they used to cut the finger, talk about in the hotel. Then we used to run to daddy, how could you have cut the finger? And I had to put a plaster on, I had to kiss it, and you know, everything was fine. Uncle Joe did it.
As a child yourself, I mean, you were born in 1930. Okay. So, 1938, your trouble started and your education ended.
Yeah.
From what you've been describing, you must have been a very mature little boy. You know, the way from 1940, the events you've described, and how
because
you became...
Lifted. You can't forget it.
Were you exceptional when you look back at your child contemporaries in the camps? Were you more able... more sort of on the ball than they were, do you think?
I was more alert. I was more aware of the danger. And I have to say, I never stood still for 1 second. As long as they see that you're busy, they used to leave you alone. And that was me. I volunteered for everything. I did everything I could. I never used to walk. I used to run, always jogging. To make myself, he's on the go. And this is how it used to be all my life.
From what you've described, you know, that the number of camps you've been through and what you witnessed, let alone experience, because you were tortured very severely from what you were saying that time. I'm wondering, you know, how you emerged as such a normal person. Balanced person that you've seen.
I didn't let myself be manipulated. But I mean by manipulated, you can't carry hatred within your body because it will eat you up. So I always looked, and I always keep on saying, what a lucky person. And I am lucky.
Was it luck that got you through?
Luck, good fortune, perception of time, perception of surviving, living in hope. Because I always said, if I survived, my father would survive. Because he was a strong, healthy man. And also, I knew my mother and sister that I said their prayers, but I never said prayers for my father. I never accepted that my father was dead. So this was another urge of achieving my belief in human age. And it's proved itself right. And as far as friends and relations, I didn't want help. I just wanted somebody to see that I'm doing something. Do you know what I mean?
Your faith seems to have been important as well, Joe. Your faith in God.
Oh, yeah, well, that's always been in God. Always been the faith in God. Because, let's be honest, there by the grace of God go I. And even many, many, many times when I look back at my life, I always see my life being a peripheral person. Always from the outside, looking in. And I even have witnessed the world unhinge itself momentarily. It's beyond comprehension. And when I wake up, from my nightmares, I ask myself, am I really that little boy who saw all this?
Do you still have nightmares?
Oh, wake up and that's all. And I know I'm safe. Subconsciously, I know I'm safe. But I eat you up. The older I'm getting, the worse it gets. The worse it gets. I had an operation not so long ago, and I was very bad. And the nightmares was just eating me up. I felt my head busting. Busting. And I said, no, it can't be. And I didn't want to let myself go to sleep. I didn't sleep. This is something which will never go away from you. And unfortunately, this is how you live. This is how you live. But I am counting my blessings every day. I've got my daughter living next to you. She is the most, she's a chock, what do you call it? She's a chip of her own block, like her mother. Good-hearted, sharing her joys with everybody, with friends, sharing, helping other people. Like my wife, we always are involved in charity work. I raise money for charity in our house, and all this all comes from not burdening myself with other things. Be positive, be happy, share your life. And I do. I have my grandchildren. Never in my wildest dreams could I ever think that I'll have children to love and grandchildren to love.
Well, Joe, thank you very much indeed for telling me, you know, about your experiences today. It has been very interesting, but a bit traumatic for you, I imagine.
No, because I say thank God that I'm here to tell the story.
Thank you. Well, I can reinforce
that. I don't harbor any, I'm never jealous of anybody. I'm satisfied with a God, and I thank God that He gave me the strength to be able to earn it with my own two hands. So all this is very important to me, very important.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
Pleasure.